Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2010. Lecture 12, delivered on October 4, 2010. The title of this lecture is Annuities and Perpetuities.
Today, Annuities and Perpetuities. I begin with a couple of just quick, short problems, just to make sure that you're on track with using the basic formulas. Find the present value of $1,200 that you will receive in 8 years, assuming the discount rate is 12% compounded semi-annually. That's just a straight up question. Throwing the pitch right down the middle of the plate for you to get me a home run. I'm going to put the formula on the board. The present value is the future value over 1 plus r to the nth power. Now, in this case, the future value is going to be the $1,200. The interest rate will be, in this case, 12%, 0.12, divided by semiannual. What do I mean by semiannual? What's the divisor? 2, and that'll come out to be 0.06. Now, don't do it like that. When you're doing the actual formula, just key in 0.12 divided by 6. And just carry it like that in the calculation, because otherwise you can get some rounding error that will burn you if you try for something that's got like multiple decimals and all that kind of stuff. And your N is going to be, well, we got 8 years, two periods per year makes for 16 semiannual periods in which discounting will occur. And so you rock and roll, present value is the future value, $1,200, over 1 plus 0.12 divided by 2, all to the 16th power. And if you beat that out on your calculator, which I'm not going, and I had it written down here, and where the hell did I put my glasses? Sweet. I can't find my glasses. Oh well. Use these. 1,200 times 1 plus 0.12 divided by 2, close parentheses, to the negative 16th power. $472.38. $472.38. Now, it's a little early on, but a quick sanity check on these. It's like I said, if you make a mistake of some kind, like you put a 12 instead of a 0.12, your answer just goes bananas. It's very, the formulas are pretty sensitive to mistakes. So you'll see something that looks ridiculously out of whack. The first thing you want to check for is the number that I get at the end less than the original number. $1,200 in 8 years isn't worth that much now. So I should definitely get a number that's smaller than $1,200. Okay? Make sure that you know that. Obviously, $1,200 in 8 years isn't going to be worth $1,200 today. It's going to be, you take something less than $1,200 today in lieu of $1,200 down the road. And then the next question is, well, how are we doing on the logic of this number? Yeah, that's 8 years. That's a long time out there. That's a steep discount rate. 12% is a steep discount rate. Now, this part is a little bit more, you have to get the feel for this doing some problems over a period of time. But yeah, that's not going to be worth nearly $1,200 right now. I'd take quite a bit less than $1,200 if it would, the $1,200 was in 8 years and the alternative was take money right now. Yeah, I'd take something quite a bit less than $1,200. So just in a reality check kind of way, doing a little sanity on this, sanity check, yeah, that looks about right. 472, I don't know if it's exactly right, but it sure does look like it's in the right ballpark. Okay, it's below the original number we started with. It's not ridiculously below, but it's enough below that it makes sense that just on my own, I'd take about $472 now instead of $1,200 in 8 years because I can have a lot more fun with it now than I will in 8 years when I'm dead. Okay, that's a present value problem. They're not hard at all, really, and... And future value problems aren't all that difficult either. But here's the thing. A lot of times, it doesn't have to do with a lump sum of money. There are a number of times when you would have a situation where there would be more than one lump sum coming at you. So the next one I do is... What is the present value of $800 in 2 years $600 in 5 years and $1,000 in 7 years. Discounting cash flows. Okay. 7% compounded. Monthly. Technically, I call this an annuity. An annuity. It's not exactly fits the classic definition, but for me, I consider an annuity anything that is a stream of cash. Here we have more than one lump of money that's going to come to us. This is realistic to the extent that in business, we are concerned with repeating cash flow. As I would tell you in a marketing class, if you're ever fortunate enough to take me for a marketing class, the whole idea in modern business is not to sell people a thing. It is to sell them a service. It is not to sell them a cure. It is to sell them a maintenance drug. It is not to sell them once and for all, but to sell them a lifestyle that they have to keep paying into. Because then you have a stream coming at you, and with a present value formula, you can say, all right, what is the present value of that stream that's going to come and come and come to you forever and ever and ever? If you don't believe me, look at what's happened probably during your lifetimes to software. Software is becoming almost unheard of for most people to buy shrink wrap software. They buy subscriptions to software, renewable. And that's the way it is with a lot of things. For example, we used to sell cures or we used to sell just simple products to diabetics. Now we have a whole lifestyle so that they have to keep coming back to the store to buy stuff. We'll give you the printer. We'll give you the blood glucose monitor. We'll give you this or that. But then you have to keep coming back to us to buy the products supporting systems, like with printers, the cartridges, like with diabetes monitors. You have to keep buying the Lancets and all that kind of stuff. With diseases, you have to just keep buying your prescriptions over and over and over again. You see, that's where this leads, is to this idea that in business, we really don't give a crap about a lump of money. What we want to know is, can we create a stream, an annuity? And from that, then we can find its present value. What's that worth to us now versus eventually in this course, when we get to capital budgeting, versus the cost of it right now. So anyway, enough of that. So here's the first thing. Remember in the syllabus, I said I want you to have a ruler. And a ruler is part of this course because it does not hurt at all to draw a timeline when you are doing these problems. I guarantee you, I use timelines because otherwise I can get so confused that I can't find my own ass using both hands in Google Atlases. Zero is the beginning of the timeline. Don't draw negative numbers. We're not going backward in time. And then you draw your years out. There's a year. There's a 2 years. There's three. There's four. There's five. There's six. And there's seven. And I don't go any further. I always go 1 year further because there's sometimes with these stupid things called annuities due where things get weird. You have to go one period further out. But I'm not doing that right now. Look. In this example that I have given you here, we have a lump of money that occurs at year two, and I'm going to put in $800 above the year two. And then we have at 5 years, $1,000. And then at 7 years, we have, I'm just testing you, that's 600 there. That's good. I'm glad you saw that. 1,000, okay? Okay. So now, what we would want to do is to telescope each of those lumps back and then add them up. So I will take the first one, the $800, and bring it back to now as 800 over 1 plus 0.07 divided by 12 to the monthly for 2 years would be 24, right? And then you can do this your own way. I usually just get all the formulas laid out right away and then I go through and do the calculations. And then I'm going to take the $600 and bring that back, and that would come out to be $600 divided by 1 plus 0.07 over 12 to the 5 times 12, which would be 60. And then I'm going to draw this $1,000 back in the stream to the present. And that one will be 1,000 over 1 plus 0.07 over 12 to the 7 times 12, 84, yep. Now I do it this way. I do the formulas first, and then I pop each of them into the calculator. It's just sort of specializing one task at a time. And if I crank all these things out here, I'll get on 800 times, or divided by 1 plus 0.07 divided by 12, y to the x, negative 24. The first one should come out to be 695.77. $695.77. There's going to be a little rounding error if you do it this way, and I'm pretty tolerant of a couple of pennies off this way or that way. Not dollars, but a couple of pennies off is pretty normal. if you do it this way that I'm doing it here, times. Eventually you get really sophisticated. You can do these all as a chain, divided by 12 raised to the negative 60th, 423.24. And then 1,000 to the negative 84th power, 613.50. Now, by the way, one reason that I do it this way, especially if I'm trying to be really careful about it, is I can do this as a chain, all at once, you know, algebraic order of operations, all that, on one of these TI-83 pluses or 84s. One reason I do it this way is that I can then look at each number and make sure that I didn't do anything wrong, I didn't screw the pooch on one of them. I can look at each individual component and say, does this answer make sense? Otherwise, if you do them as a chain, you could have one that you could blow one of 3, 4, or 5, and then the whole answer is off. This way I can look at each one. $800, 2 years in the future, yeah, that's not bad. That's probably a little less than 700. That makes sort of sense. 600, 5 years out, yeah, that's about 400. And then $1,000, 7 years out. 613. It looks like it's in the right ballpark. Obviously, you can't be for sure doing that touchy-feely stuff, but at least you have a good idea. Yeah, I'm okay. I didn't do anything wrong. And then you can add all those up, and you can go 695.77 plus 423.24 plus 613.50, and I get $1,732.51. Now, what that means is that at a discount rate of 7% compounded monthly, I would be indifferent between $1,732.51 now and this particular patterned cash flow instead. I would be okay with either one. If I were offered $1,733, I would say I'll take the money now, because it is better, slightly, but nevertheless better than the pattern cash flow. If someone offered me $1,732, I'd say I'll take the cash flow instead, because it is better, only slightly better, but it is better. The $1,732.51 is the exact point of indifference if you are discounting cash flows at 7% compounded monthly. Okay? That's how you do one where it's an unlevel kind of cash flow. These can be a real pain in the butt because, obviously, in a more realistic kind of situation, you could have a different number every year, and it gets to be really like you have to just keep cranking each one of them back to the present. Now, there is a special version of a patterned cash flow where the annuity is level. It is the same amount every time, and the time periods are consistent. That's a level annuity. And here's where I'm going to teach you the formula. Write the formula down. I'm just going to say, here's the formula. And back in the day, I would have shown you the mathematics of why this formula is correct and all of that. Anymore, it's more like I want you to get to the point where you can use this formula, because it's actually, strangely, in finance, it's one of the most basic, useful formulas that out there, more frequently used than about any other kind of formula. Let me show you. What is the present value of $1,000 every year, starting a year from today, for 15 years, discounting the cash flow at 10%. Now, when we get to this, where we're doing it this way, unless there's something really weird going on, you're going to have your timing of the cash flows match the compounding period. Okay? So here I said, well, it's annually you're going to get the cash flow. So that means that it's going to be annual compounding. Unless I were to really be weird, it would be that way. If I said, well, you're going to get it every month, the compounding would be every month. Here I say you're going to get it every year. So the compounding is once a year. Now here's the formula that you... Now, by the way, notice that this would be a real pain in the backside if you were to have to do $1,000 present values 15 times. It would get to be old real fast. But here we don't have to. Unless you're an Excel jockey, then it's not so bad at all. But there's a better way. The present value of a level annuity, the present value of a level annuity, PVA, is going to be the cash flow, CF, the level cash flow, and it has to be level, times 1 minus the quantity 1 plus r to the negative nth over r, where r is the periodic interest rate and n is the number of periods. R is the periodic interest rate and n is the number of periods. In the problem I've just given you, the periodic interest rate will be the annual interest rate and the number of periods will be the number of years. Because I didn't say anything different, and it's annual payments, so it's got to be an annual compounding. But that's a present value of an annuity. Now, there is a version of this called an annuity due. And I don't do too much of those because it's just another way of throwing a curveball at you. But the annuity due formula modifies this one in case your first cash flow occurs right away. Okay? Now, there is also a future value annuity formula, which I won't do now. I'll do that after the exam. We'll go do some cleanup. And the future value of the annuity and the future value annuity due just drives people crazy sometimes. Well, what's the difference between the annuity and the annuity due when it's a future value? I don't get into that because it does get people down. But here, it's a really straightforward problem. Your cash flow here is $1,000. That's the level annuity. Your periodic interest rate is 0.10. For God's sake, remember to make it a decimal, okay? there are a couple of folks, they knew better, but on that one ratios quiz, they put, they forgot to convert percentages and all that. But anyway, R, and N is the number of periods, which is the number of years here, because I didn't say anything otherwise, so it's just years are the periods. And annual interest rate is the interest rate we use, the periodic interest rate. So it's really kind of a no-brainer kind of sort of problem. The present value of the annuity in this case is very straightforward to calculate. Bear with me here. let me clear some stuff out here, and then I'm going to just crank it out, formula-wise. Okay. We'll do the present value of the annuity is the cash flow, $1,000 times 1 minus 1 plus 0.10 to the negative 15th, all divided by 0.10. Now, for heaven's sakes, be careful if you're going to enter this in one rock block into your calculator. Put that whole numerator in parentheses before you go divided by 0.10. Okay? So if you were to do this on your calculator straight up, you'd run 1,000 times open parenthesis 1 minus open parenthesis, oops, 1 plus 0.10, close the parenthesis, hit the negative sign, 15, close the parenthesis, and then divided by 0.10. Now, if there's going to be a division in the denominator, be sure to open parentheses and close them on the denominator too. But here I don't have to. And then you just hit enter and you should get your answer. Survey says, what do you get? 7606.7. 0.08. Is that what everyone else gets? Yeah. Oh, did I? Oh, duh. Hat. Duh. Hat. Walking and chewing gum at the same time. Let me try that again. Okay. 1,000 times open parenthesis 1 minus open parenthesis 1 plus 0.10, close parenthesis hat, negative 15, close parenthesis, divided by 0.10, 760608. Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot to put in the exponent hat there. So it's 1,000 times open parenthesis 1 minus open parenthesis 1 plus 0.10, close parenthesis, exponent, the little caret symbol, then the negative sign, 15, close parenthesis, divided by 0.10, and hit enter. And you should get, it is indeed that. Now, these you can also do on your calculator in the finance. If you hit apps on your calculator, a TI 83 plus or a TI 84, and if you got an 89, you're dead. Again, you hit apps 1, which is finance. Now, walk it through. You'll see that you come to a window where you have N, I percent, PV, PMT, FV, and then some other garbage. Now, I do it the straightest, simplest way. Make sure the P over Y and the C over Y there at the bottom are ones. And make sure that that PMT thing is on end. Because if it's on begin, you're doing an annuity due. And you don't want to do annuities due. So we go up to N. And in this case, N is just 15. If it were compounding, you'd do like 15 times 12 or whatever. You can do arithmetic operations right there at the entry line level. But in this case, all you have to do is put in 15. You walk it down. The I percent is 10. And if you're doing it this way, it's the percentage, 10, okay? Just type in 10. You don't? Wait a minute. What do you see?
If you go to one of the bars.
TMV.
Are there?
Yeah, Solver? Hit end. Hit enter.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Grr. I knew I had started drinking this early. N15. Okay, again, you hit apps, finance, which is one, TMV solver, time value of money solver. Enter, and you will go to a nice little screen that will have N, I, percent, PV, PMT, and all that. On the N line, put 15, I, percent, and again, remember, it's a percent here. This is where you would put a percent. 10. The PV, leave that blank. Or put a zero in there or something like that. I guess you have to put something in there. Payments are 1,000 each. And you have no future value holdover on it. And then you just go up to the PV and you hit get the answer. Solve. That's a green button, alpha, enter. Did you get it? Let's make sure we're going to do it. I'll walk through it again, not to bore you. You hit 15 for the N. I percent, just hit 10. Now at the PV, you're trying to find a PV. So you'll leave that alone, just put a zero there or something. You'll come back to that in a minute. The PMT is 1,000. The FV, in other words, there's no block of money, extra lump of money at the end, so you just leave that zero. And you should go back up to the PV and hit alpha, enter. And that should spit out negative 7606.07, whatever. Do you get it? It will come out to be a negative. And this is one of those weird old things about these calculators, is that if you put everything else in positive, the present value will come out negative. And if you put in the present value positive, everything, the payments will come out negative. And it's just one of those quirks. Don't give me the answer, negative $7,606.08. That's just the artifact that negative sign is. Okay. So now you can do this on your calculator. You don't have to do this by hand. Just make sure you key in everything right. And again, don't suffer in silence if you didn't get the 7606.08. If you didn't, it would mean, if you've got some other number, it would mean that one of those two, the P over Y or the C over Y, was not set to 1, or the PMT was on begin instead of end. Just make sure that those last three are, unless I say otherwise, just leave those things 1-1 end. Now, what's the payoff in this? It's easy, because this present value of an annuity formula, like I said, it's one of the most commonly used formulas in all of finance. In all of finance. Here's where. There is a situation that almost every one of you, I'd say every one of you eventually, but there might be an exception. There will be a situation where you will know the present value of an annuity. You will not know the payment. You will know this, all the components of this. The present value of the annuity, the interest rate, the number of compoundings per year, all of that kind of stuff, but you won't know what the payment is. It's called a home mortgage. It's called a car loan. It's called a student loan. All of those are nothing but reasons to use this formula to calculate the CF. So, you finally have decided that it's time to buy a car. A nice car. Yeah, you're going to buy one of those smart cars. That you don't look like the kind of guy. I'd kill myself before I'd buy one of those. But, you know, smart car, you want it. And It's yours. For the price, and you're going to finance it 100%, for the price of $18,000, monthly payments, at 3.99% APR for 5 years. And now the question is, can you afford it? In other words, what are your payments going to be on this dream car of yours? Okay, so we're going to have to find out if you can afford to have what most guys your age would consider a real babe machine. Or not. Okay, not probably. And we're going to do it on the calculator. We're not going to mess with the formula. You could do it with the formula, but let's do it on the calculator. First of all, let's get our information out. The stuff that we'll need is the PVA, for the formula, the CF, which is the payment here, cash flow, the payment, the periodic interest rate, and the number of periods. Okay, so now, the present value is how much you're going to get now to buy your dream car. So in this case, the present value of the annuity is 18 grand of the level annuity. The payment, well, that's what we want to find out. The interest rate is going to be 3.99% divided by 12, because you're going to be making monthly payments. So the compounder is a 12. And the number of periods would then be 5 years times 12 months per year. So your number of periods would be 60 months. And you push it into the calculator. Again, apps, finance, TMV solver. And now you go up to the N. The N in this case will be 60. The I percent, I'm just going to put in 3.99 divided by 12. The calculator will take care of it for you. Don't try to estimate it. Just put it in 3.99 divided by 12. And again, remember, in this routine, not on a formula, for God's sake, but in this calculator's routine, just do it as a percentage. Then you go down to the present value, which we'll put in as negative $18,000. Remember that the PVs put them in as negative. And again, don't ask me why. Okay, just do it. Negative. And now the only other thing that you should have to do is just put the cursor down on PMT and say, count alpha, solve. What do you get? 331.42, $331.42. If you can't do it, make sure that by the time we leave today, you can. These are so easy. I will ask you one of these on the test. I'll just give you what will be the payments on a loan. This is what I'll do. I'm telegraphing it to you. All you have to do is know how to use your calculator. I mean, you could do that and you'd be from Decatur. I shouldn't have done that again. I got to stop that. My mom's from Decatur. Yeah, I know. I met her in a truck stop lot. Can you afford this dream machine of yours? Good. You will breed. Maybe not in the car, but let's do one more. I just want to make sure that you've got this solid. I mean, it's so nice with these calculators. Back in the day, what we had to do, just to give you a window on what used to be done, we would have these tables of the annuity part of the formula calculated out for interest rates of all kinds, for different loan amounts, loan periods. It would just kind of it was a pain in the butt. Now, let's take a home mortgage. Okay, we'll do, and I'll just make it a realistic mortgage. Just a sort of a standard thing. You want to buy a $160,000 home with 10% down and the balance financed on a 30-year FRM, fixed rate mortgage, with APR of 6.59%. You make $60,000 per year, and the loan will be approved if the payment is less than 25% of your monthly income. Will you get the loan? This is close to real. I mean, this isn't abstract. There would be a few more things in there, but it's close. It's close. Here you go. All you do is just push the numbers in. Push the numbers in with me. If we do this together, like a happy family, the first part would be it's a 30-year fixed rate mortgage. So that first number, the N, you're going to put in 30 times 12. 30 times 12. The I percent, 6.59. Divided by 12. The present value, I'm just going to leave that alone. Oh, I'm sorry, the present value. What I'm going to do is I'm going to write $160,000 times 0.9. See how you can just push everything in? You don't have to do calculations somewhere else. And now you go down to the payment. Whoops, I forgot. The present value is negative. Screwed up there. Okay, insert a negative. Yeah, it was negative one. It's negative 160,000 times 0.9.
Times 0.9,
because it's 10% down. You're getting a loan for 90% of 160,000 because you're paying 10% of it in cash. Alternately, you could just say 160,000 minus 16,000. Now I'm going to go down here and get the answer. What's your payment? Again. Yeah. $918.72. $918.72. If you can do that, you can get one of the answers right on my exam. You will not go home empty-handed. Yeah, was there a question? Yeah. Let me write this down. We're not finished yet. That's your payment. $918.72. But if we want to know if you're going to have this loan approved. $60,000 a year divided by 12. $60,000 a year divided by 12, what is that? What's 25% of 5,000? Your annual is 60. Divide that by 12 months, you get $5,000 a month is your monthly income. 25% of that would be $1,250. Are they going to approve the loan? Yeah. Yeah. And it's not a wide shot, but yeah, you've got even a little bit of padding there in case you have something like points or they take the taxes out with the payments and stuff like that. You're okay here. But this is what you would see, and this is how you can do your own rough calculation when you go for that dream home of yours someday. It's actually, you can calculate the payment. If you know what the criteria of the bank is for the underwriting and all that kind of stuff, you can know whether it'll be roughly, there are other factors too, obviously, like credit risk and all that. But there you go. That's another one of them. There's one last calculation. There's one last formula that I'll show you. Strangely enough, this sounds unrealistic, but it is actually a formula that we will use in this class again. And it has to do with eternity. Now, I've pointed out, let me tell you this. Madam, you will die someday. I told this to a gentleman up there, and he looked unhappy at me. And usually when people die, it hurts like hell. You're bitchy and you fuss, and fortunately you finally shut up and die. But you see, the interesting thing is that there are some things that don't die. Not in any certain way. We die with certainty. That's why I can tell you, you're going to die. I've been told that a couple of times in my life. You're going to die, boy. But and I was jumping out the window of a house one night. But you see, corporations live forever. And so do other institutions and entities. So if a corporation issued something where they promised that every year they were going to give you a little money, that would be a promise that would go forever. And there are securities that are like that. Preferred stock is like that. Common stock is like that. You see, something where if you become an owner of this corporation, you have a claim that will last forever if the corporation lives forever. And there is no legal reason why the corporation can't live forever. It might die because of stupidity of the management, but it can live forever. So we have to have a formula that describes a cash flow that would go on for eternity. You think, well, wouldn't that have an infinite present value? No, because the cash flow's present value of those parts that are way out there become so insignificant that they become meaningless eventually. Now, here are the two formulas. We're talking about what are called perpetuities, cash flows that last forever. As long as it is a level perpetuity, a perpetuity that will be the same amount forever and ever and ever, then the present value of that perpetuity, the PVP, the pervert, PVP, will be the flat cash flow over the periodic discount rate. That's all there is to it. So if you told me that I'm going to get $50 a year forever at 10% discount rate, I tell you right now that I would be indifferent between that and $500 right now. Let me say that again. If you were to tell me that I could have a cash flow that would give me $500 or $50 every year forever, and if I were discounting cash flows at 10%, these kinds of cash flows at 10%, I would be indifferent between that $50 every year forever and $500 right now. Do you see that? 50 divided by 0.10. You okay with that? If you were to tell me, you just found out that you are Bill Gates's illegitimate love child.
So I don't have to be here.
You do. Because the love was with someone he doesn't want to admit. So he's going to quietly send you an annuity forever. He lives forever. They're going to cyborg him, and he's going to become part of the cloud and all that shit. You know, it's really creepy. But you're going to get an annuity of $10,000 a year forever. Now, the $10,000 a year forever, because Bill's good. He's Bill to me. Yeah, to you, he's still Mr. Gates. But Bill's good for the money, so we'll discount this at a lower interest rate. Maybe, let's say, 6%. Okay? So what is the present value of that to you now? All you do is the present value of the perpetuity is $10,000 divided by 0.06. So, in other words, you would be indifferent between this $10,000 every year forever and $166,666.67 right now instead. Yes, of course you would. But, in fact, that would just mean if you're that quick with saying it, you're discounting the cash flows at something other than 6%. Okay? You would be discounting them at a much higher rate. That's true. In other words, you're saying that you could reinvest money at a rate higher than 6% at the same risk level that you were getting the $10,000 at. Here's the last one. There's a variation on this level perpetuity. It's called the constant growth perpetuity. You have got to be careful, because in the second half of this course, we use both of these. But the one where there's a constant growth of the perpetuity, it looks deceptively easy, but it can burn your butt. If the perpetuity has constant growth rate G, then, in other words, it grows by like the same amount every year. Like, suppose that $10,000 grew by 10% every year. So you'd have $10,000 the first year, $11,000 the second year, then 11,000 times 10% plus 10% of that the third year. If it grows in a constant way, then what you would do is you would take you would find the present value of the perpetuity by taking the first cash flow, the amount that would be the first one right now at zero, and you would times it by one plus the growth rate, so that on top you have the cash flow at period one, not the cash flow at period zero. What you're doing with CF0 times the quantity 1 plus G is creating the cash flow at period 1 divided by the discount rate minus the growth rate. Now, the discount rate has to be larger than the growth rate for this formula to work. Look. Let me show you how this. I'm going to put up a problem here, where you can see this getting a little bit frisky with you. Yeah, go.
What was CFO?
CF sub zero is your cash flow now, what the one right away will be. Watch this problem here. You own a stock that just paid a dividend of 25 cents per share. You expect that dividend to grow at a rate of 4% every year from now on. If you discount the cash flow from dividends on this stock at 11%, what should be the price of the stock right now? What should be the stock price right now? You see, because in this model, this is one of the ways that we can price stocks, is by assuming that its value, its price, is nothing but the present value of the future expected cash flows from its dividends. So this is one of the old primitive ways, and it's still used to this day. When I've got nothing else in my pocket to figure out a stock price, I can try to reach for this one. In this case, the present value of this perpetuity with constant growth is going to be the 25 cent per share dividend I just got, grown 1 plus 0.04%, so that I know the dividend at the next period, divided by the discount rate of 0.11 minus the growth rate of 0.04. Let's make sure that we're okay on this. It's that top that gets you. Don't let me bluff you by talking so much about the dividend you just got, because if it's a constant growth rate, then that dividend, what matters is the dividend one period out. In other words, I have to grow that dividend by 0.25 times 1.04. So the 25 cent per share dividend is not what matters. It's the 25 cents times 1.04. So what matters to me is the 26 cents that I'll get next time. I will ask a question very similar to this on the first exam. It's real simple, as long as you use your formula right. It really is. This is not a hard question at all. These ones that I do here right before we get to the exam time are where I want you to use no-brainer kinds of attacks. And if you work this one out, you should find that your answer comes out to be $3.71. That's the answer to the question, and that's very much what you will see something like this on exam one. On Wednesday, your quiz is due at the beginning of class, and then we review for exam one, and that's all we do on Wednesday. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.